The latest news, the hottest trends, powered by the top news sites on the internet. It's Trending Today USA.
It's Thursday, December 28th, 2017. Coming up on Trending Today USA.
The latest Rasmussen tracking poll reflects President Trump's approval ratings, plus what can you do to be safe this New Year's Eve. You're listening to Trending Today USA. I'm Tom Hinchy. Las Vegas is beefing up security forces for New Year's Eve in the wake of October's mass shooting outside Mandalay Bay. Here to talk more about this is security expert Adam Coffrin, president of Safe Kids and founder of the HERO program, a nonprofit which teaches school kids and businesses how to conduct yourself during a violent situation. Welcome to Trending Today, Adam. How are you today? Do we have Adam? Okay. Oh, we're waiting for Adam here. I know he's there. Adam, he's around. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to talk to him in just a second here. We're waiting to get Adam Coffrin on the line, and we're going to talk more about how you can be safe New Year's Eve. It seems that New Year up in Las Vegas. Adam, are you there?
I am, sir.
Oh, there you are. I'm doing well. How about yourself today?
Doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. We had a little technical problem. I'm glad you're here, Adam. I think this is very important. With New Year's Eve coming up so quickly, I'm sure that people want to make sure that they're going to be safe if they're going to any public events.
Hey, correct. Yeah. After Mandalay Bay, it's given us a whole new focus.
It sure has. You know, you recently attended the Tourism Safety Conference in Nevada, didn't you?
That's correct.
Okay. And you were talking about active shooter training. Adam, could you share any safety tips with us today?
Absolutely. When we think about going out in the public, and, you know, the thought is we don't want to stay at home. If we don't go out, we don't enjoy our lives, then the people who are committing violence, whether it be a terrorist or just, you know, we see some of these what we call lone wolf gunmen or attackers, they truly win. If they're able to intimidate us, they truly win. So we want to go out and we want to do it, but we want to do it safely. And at Safe Kids, we've developed what we call the HERO program, which is ubiquitous anywhere you go. Should you find yourself in some sort of violence, it's remember to hide, escape, run, or overcome, or a combination of those things will help you in any sort of violent event.
That makes sense, yeah. And being observant of your surroundings, being aware, is very important. I see some people, they're walking along, they're looking at their phones, they're not really paying attention, and I think people are vulnerable when they do that. What do you think, Adam?
I would completely agree. You look at, you know, society today, we're married to our phones and our devices, and we just simply are not paying attention. You know, shortly after the September 11th attacks, the verbiage was coined of see something, say something. Mm-hmm. And in a recent study by Chapman University here in Orange, California, we discovered that people are willing to say something, but they don't know what they're looking for. So the see something, they don't know what the something is. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what you're looking for, and if your head's, you know, pointed downwards towards your phone or your device, you're not going to see it anyhow.
Yeah, that's true. We don't want anyone to be falsely accused of anything. So if you see some odd behavior, I guess you should probably tell somebody, maybe if they're acting strangely, or maybe if they have a package they're leaving somewhere. But probably alert somebody in authority, right?
Correct. So if it's odd to you, it's probably odd behavior in general. You know, we talk about what is odd. This is stuff such as wearing out of place clothing. If you're out and about and it's a nice, warm, sunny day and they're layered in a lot of clothing, That's kind of odd. If they're carrying a backpack or a package that they're pretty intensely carrying, like they're concerned, that's another way. If they're sweating and it's cold out, if you're in the middle of Times Square and someone is wearing loose clothing and they're sweating and they're looking around nervously, these are things that we should be reporting either to event security or to the police, whoever you can find first at the event.
Those are good examples, too. I like that, especially like in the warm weather, someone's wearing some sort of big overcoat or something, like they're concealing something. Yeah, that would be odd behavior. I think that's a very good example. Do you think up in Las Vegas, for example, you know, that's a big New Year's Eve location for people. People go to that as a destination. Are there going to be more plainclothes security as well as uniformed police, you think, in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I truly believe that there's going to be both a large uniform presence, which is common at any major event, but also more non-uniform presence. So the people that you never know are police or security. And that's designed to be able to observe these behaviors. If someone's acting nervous or someone is having some suspicious behavior, they're probably not going to do it around a uniformed police officer or security officer. So the plainclothes officers are a way to try to spot this type of behavior and take action before anything bad happens.
Mm-hmm. I think having plain clothes is a real good idea because that way people really never know where the law enforcement is. It's kind of like when they run unmarked cars out there on the highway. Not that I like that, but it does serve a purpose. If you don't know where law enforcement is, maybe people will tend to behave themselves a little bit better.
Correct. And, you know, I've always said if you're not doing anything wrong, then you have no reason to be worried or concerned about it.
That's right. Hey, did you happen to notice there's a story going out, the Disney hotels in Orlando, they're swapping out the do not disturb door signs in their hotels, and now they're, I guess, going to replace them with room occupied signs. Why do you suppose they're doing this?
That is one of the security upgrades post Las Vegas. And one of the things we discovered in the investigation was that the shooter of Las Vegas used do not disturb signs as a way to keep housekeeping and other hotel personnel out of his room, presumably to amass the cachet of weapons and ammunition in the room. By removing do not disturb signs and changing hotel policy to allow people, whether it be housekeeping staff, hotel management, into a room on a daily or at least every other day basis, it creates a narrow time in which to try to amass something or try to create something in a room that's going to hurt a lot of people.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea. You know, these hotel properties should probably check rooms on a daily basis anyway. I know housekeeping does, but I think it's a good idea. So if there is something going on in there, they can certainly be aware of it and maybe prevent another tragedy like we saw in Las Vegas. Adam, what's your website so we can learn more about what you do?
The website is Safe Kids Incorporated. That's all spelled out.
Okay.
.com. So safekidsincorporated.com. And all of our social media is at Safe Kids Inc. INC.
Okay. And remind me one more time. We talked about in the beginning of the conversation about the HERO program, that acronym. What does HERO mean again? Just run through that again, please.
You bet. It stands for hide, escape, run, and overcome.
Yep. Excellent. Good strategies there, Adam. Well, I appreciate you sharing these safety tips. Everyone should be more aware in their surroundings anyway. And unfortunately, we live in that kind of world where heightened awareness is essential. But it could save someone's life and definitely keep them safe. And I'm glad you're out there doing what you do, Adam. And I know you're busy this week, but thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk to me today on Trending Today. And we'll talk to you real soon, Adam. Happy New Year to you. What is it like to be on the inside with Al-Qaeda? Here to discuss this is Tamir El-Nouri. He was born in Egypt and immigrated to the United States before his fifth birthday. Mr. El-Nouri began his career in law enforcement in 1995. He's a co-author of the new book, American Radical. His voice is altered to protect his identity. Tamir, welcome to Trending Today USA. How are you?
Good, Tom. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's very nice to talk to you as well. When did you begin your law enforcement career?
It was in 1995, mm-hmm. And I began my career in working undercover narcotics and eventually shifted to counterterrorism with the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force assigned to the FBI undercover program.
Wow. How many cases did you work on undercover?
countless. Yeah, thousands at this point. Yeah, it's been countless.
Did you enjoy the undercover work?
Yeah, being a cop has been so rewarding for me over the years. But specifically undercover work, I think I learned early on was my niche. I'm not very good at following rules sometimes and taking orders. So I think I almost found it a little easier for me to associate with the other side.
Sure. And then were you recruited by the FBI?
Yes. Shortly after 9/11, I approached the FBI, but as you know, 9/11 was a devastating time for us. And we, as a nation, not just law enforcement or intelligence community, were waking up to a new war. So a few years after that, through a random encounter with the FBI's undercover coordinator, that's when my career in undercover counterterrorism took off.
I see. Tamara, what was the name of the unit that you were in?
The National Security Covert Operations Unit.
Is that what you called it, or did you have a nickname for it?
I had a nickname for it, yes, and I probably should have left this out of the book, but I jokingly referred to it as the Dirty Arabs group.
Okay. I just had to ask you that because I knew it was something humorous like that.
Of course.
So what was like your main assignment?
My main assignment was strictly undercover work. I didn't have your typical caseload. When a threat level presented itself or a threat stream presented itself, after other investigative means were exhausted, and the undercover technique was the option that we were going to deploy in this particular national security investigation, my job would be to study the subjects, get a pattern of life on them, create and craft a legend or a cover identity that would best fit this specific investigation, and to ingratiate myself into their world and be able to accurately report on that threat level.
Mm-hmm. How did you craft your legend?
Well, first and foremost, my rule of thumb has always been keep it as real as possible. If you're doing a hand-to-hand narcotics transaction, you know, that's you're in and out, you're making a couple of buys, you're gaining probable cause, get an affidavit for a search warrant, and you're on to the next investigation. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing deep cover, long-term undercover work, you need to keep it as real to you as possible. And I think me personally, that's a recipe for success, because when you're exhausted and when you're traveling the world with these terrorists, sooner or later, your true colors come out. As long as the part that I'm government doesn't, then I'll always be able to be believable.
Mm-hmm. You did develop one legend where you were a wealthy Arab American real estate investor. Is that right?
That's correct, sir.
Yeah, that sounds actually really interesting. And the purpose of that legend was what? What were we trying to get near somebody?
Well, yeah. The target in this investigation, as I detail an American radical, was Shahab Assegayer. And during my initial, recon of his pattern of life, I needed to make myself recruitable. Mm-hmm. I needed to be wealthy. I needed to have a reason to be anywhere in the world at any given moment. And I also needed to be an individual with a radical mindset. So that's how I crafted that legend for this particular subject. And it worked out. And I was fortunate enough to have him choose me instead of me choosing him.
Is that right? Now, I don't want to give anything away from the book, so I'm just asking questions because I'm interested. So if you don't want to talk about a certain thing, I certainly understand. But you did accidentally meet him, didn't you?
Yes, sure. It was essentially, again, when we're creating these legends and we're creating what I call a bump, which is a casual meet, it's very important, just like in our own personal lives and just like in your personal life. The first impressions are crucial. So although in this particular instance, and for what I do for a living and what we do for a living, we get to cheat a little bit. I get to do my homework on these individuals. I get to know what makes them tick. You have to understand, Tom, that whether you're good or you're evil, every single one of us as a human being, we all have a thing. You could be a closet smoker. You could be a diehard hockey fan or something much more personal than that. And during my research and my study, if I figure out what your thing is, I like my chances.
Yeah, that's excellent. I like that. So you did have an accidental meeting with your particular target, and as a result, that kind of led you to reach your objective, which was to get recruited.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. So you were on the inside, and that's what this is all about. You were on the inside of Al Qaeda.
Yes, sir. And it gave me and the intelligence community and the law enforcement on both sides of the border, a deep dive into not just the terrorist mindset, but Al-Qaeda's goals and vision, their training, their leadership, everything, how they operate, how they communicate. It was an extraordinary investigation. And again, I was a spoke on a wheel, and I'm not just saying that to be humble. It's true. I happen to be the faceless face, a nameless name on this book. Mm-hmm. But this investigation was the first of its kind, a cross-border law enforcement and intelligence gathering operation run by the U.S. and Canada, because our goals are all the same on both sides of the border, and that's to stop terrorism dead in its tracks. I'm proud of the book. I'm proud of the case. I'm proud of the team. And I'm honored that you're having me on today to be able to talk about it, because I think it's an important book for American citizens to read, because the information that's in this book should not just be for law enforcement and the intelligence community. Every American citizen should be able to distinguish terrorism indicators, to be able to distinguish between the vast differences between radical Islam and the true tenets of the religion, because once we understand our enemy, I wholeheartedly believe that that is the first step in defeating them.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you don't mind me saying so, I think you're a hero for doing what you've done and put yourself in danger like that and to find out what's going on behind the scenes. That's very heroic, very courageous, and I appreciate what you've
thank
done.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, well, no, thank you.
I appreciate those words. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tamer. And this book, American Radical, did this just come out?
Came out yesterday. Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay. And so this is available on Amazon, for example, and maybe also bookstores?
Everywhere. Okay. Yeah, should be everywhere. I hope it's everywhere.
Me too.
That's the idea.
Sounds fascinating. The book is called American Radical, the man, Tamer El-Nouri. And he's with us today on Trending Today USA, giving us a little insight into what it was like to be behind the scenes in Al-Qaeda. And I don't have much more time to speak with you, but and I don't want to give away too much of the story. People need to read this story, but I appreciate you setting us up and letting us know what you had to go through to get to that point. And I'm sure the book is absolutely fascinating. Well, I hope we get to talk again, Tamer. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. Me too, Tom. You're a true gentleman. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. And you be safe out there. And thank you so much for joining us on Trending Today USA. We'll talk to you again. Have a good day. The Rasmussen Report's daily presidential tracking poll shows that 46% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance, while only 53%, well, actually 53% disapprove. Here to talk more about this is Ellis Hennekin. He's a columnist at Metro Newspapers, a popular television and radio commentator, and the author of three New York Times best-selling books, including his latest book, Trumpitude, The Secret Confessions of Donald's Brain, now available on Amazon. Ellis, welcome back to Trending Today. How are you today?
Hey, it's good to be with you. Did I just hear somebody call you a gentleman?
Yeah, once in a while they do call me that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? It's a new year and all kind of new things are
all
possible,
sorts of
right?
new things are coming about. That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry to
no,
hear. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to have you here. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, everything real nice. I'm hanging out down in New Orleans with my family.
Oh, very good. Oh, good. Well, that'll be a lot of fun. Good deal. Good deal. Hey, we'll just talk about this real briefly because I want to talk about your book in a second. We don't have a lot of time, but that tracking poll at 46%, that's not too bad. It's better than Congress's rating.
Well, it's a little bit of an uptick. I guess maybe that's the result of the passing of the tax cuts. And, we'll see. I mean, the story so far has been fairly low, but it's I'm sure they're happy for every point. Put it like that.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And these polls, and I don't take a lot of stock in them, but I think overall, I think most people actually are happy with the president's performance. And I think a lot of us are looking for prosperity in the new year, which is a word we haven't heard in some time.
Yeah, bring it on, right?
Bring it on. Let's dust that word off and let's hold it up. But you know what? I want to talk about your book, Trumpitude. It's out. You can get on Amazon. In paperback, The Secret Confessions of Donald's Brain. How's that book doing? Selling pretty well?
It's doing great. God, I'm so fortunate. I appreciate the support everybody's given us. And, I think, honestly, at this time of the year, we've had an intense, long, wild year. And I think maybe people are ready for a little humor, a little bit of a lighthearted take, a little bit of, laughing at our own mistakes a little bit, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I think humor breaks through everything. And that's the thing. Americans are funny people. We like to laugh. We're funny people. We enjoy humor. That's how we get along. And people who don't have a sense of humor, they just don't get it, do they?
No. And God knows the world provides enough opportunity, don't you think?
Every day, Ellis. There's a lot of funny things.
You know, it's been funny. I've gotten, this might not surprise you, I mean, I've had a few people say, well, this is very serious and you shouldn't be making light of it. And Trump, I mean, it's funny because I've gotten a little bit of that from Trump haters and from Trump lovers, but I got to tell you, I think most Americans kind of wherever we are politically, we can laugh at this stuff. Thank God we're in a place where you can do that. You don't get in trouble for it. And, most of us are going to be okay, I think. So honestly, I just think we've had a lot of yelling this year. and that some folks are probably ready for, you know, it's been long enough so that we can start, you know, seeing at least some of the humor in these things.
Well, no, I think so, too. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to still have demonstrations and protests and tantrums in the new year. Wouldn't surprise me if they do. Yeah, probably will. Yeah, of course they will.
The answer is yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, even though those people who are criticizing the president will probably benefit from the improvements in the economy, they're still going to complain about something because he's not their guy.
Yeah, and, you know, there are some things that aren't going great. I mean, we've got a guy who, you know, 1 year in is already the target of a major, major FBI investigation having to do with how he got to be the president. You know, it's been a crazy, rocky year. I mean, you know, I think what's happened really is that the people who love the guy are hanging very tough. I mean, I don't think he's lost much of the base. But the people who started out suspicious of him, I would say their suspicions have grown over time. I just think we're becoming more divided as a country.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's true. Well, we've been divided for some time, Ellis. The last administration did not do a very good job of unifying us. I think it was intentional to divide us. But I think if people really want to come together, they'll come together. They just have to want.
Yeah, you know, the word for 2017, I think if you had to come up with one word, it might be tribal. That's what you're pointing at. You know, that we kind of were on the red team or the blue team, the shirts or the skins, pick whichever image you like from your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we are a very tribal nation, and the politics really exacerbate that. I mean, this tax cut thing, right? I mean, it's good for some people, bad for other people, and it you know, further makes people run into their own little camps, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. But overall, I think it's going to be good. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think it's
all right, well, do me a favor.
Okay.
Whatever happens, keep your humor
okay?
Don't get drawn into all that, you know, downbeat, depressing talk. You get boring. I mean, nobody wants to hang around you. You just miss the downbeat all the time, right?
That's good advice, Ellis. And we're speaking with Ellis Hennigan, who is a humorist himself, and he's a columnist at Metro Newspapers. But check out his latest book, Trumpitude, The Secret Confessions of Donald's Brain. It's available on Amazon, very affordable in paperback. Ellis, I know you're busy. Thanks for joining us from New Orleans today on Trending Today. We'll talk to you real soon. Happy New Year to you. This is Trending Today USA. We're going to take a quick break here. My name's Tom Hinchy. We'll be back in just a few moments after this break. I hope you can join us.
You know what's great about the Volkswagen Sign and Drive event? No matter how you sign your name, you can get a great deal on select 2018 Volkswagen models. Sign perfectly neat, you get a great deal. Sign super messy, get a great deal. Sign outside the lines. Do one of those fancy weird signatures where your nine-letter last name looks like a half a V. You still get a great deal on models like the all-new Tiguan SUV or fun-to-drive Jetta. So practice your signature. Then head over to your nearest Volkswagen dealer for the Sign and Drive event, going on now for a limited time.